AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great Christmas time. We are staring down New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It's coming quickly. Here we are on Monday, December 30th, and Debbie and I just got back from Houston. We were in Houston for a family gathering and to see my grandsons, Jack and Chase, and had a wonderful time there. Let me just reiterate something I told my daughter, and for all you stay-at-home moms, you have the hardest job on the planet. It is exhausting watching little kids, especially little boys. Debbie and I had three girls, and girls, you know, they have their own issues and things, but it seems like when they're little, they play much differently than boys do, and boys just want to smash things and break things, and they're rough. I don't know how little boys get out of childhood. It's only by the, or toddlerhood, it's only by the grace of God that they don't kill themselves, you know, just hurt themselves falling down stairs or running into things or smashing, you know, some kind of a baseball bat on their brother or whatever. But I was telling Amy as I was watching the boys, I said, you know, watching the boys to me is like going to the mall. I said, as soon as I go to the mall with Debbie, it's just like every ounce of energy is just being sucked out of my body. I just get so exhausted. I love it, but it is difficult. And so all you moms of little kids, just be encouraged. What you're doing makes a huge difference. And if you feel like you didn't get anything done on a particular day, it was just a day of, you know, we're still in our pajamas and the house is a mess. The house stays a mess with little kids because they can dirty things up so quickly. But just praise the Lord because you are making a huge difference and a huge impact, and just loving on those little ones that God gives you and teaching them right from wrong and teaching them how to pray and how to trust the Lord and reading Bible stories to them, that makes such a difference. So we just got back yesterday and are ready to hit the ground running as we face 2025. We say goodbye to 2024 and we look forward to 2025. You know, a new year is such a great time. It's kind of like a mulligan in golf. If you've ever played golf, you know, you hit that bad tee shot and you're playing with your buddies and they say, I hit another one. Just take a mulligan. And a mulligan is a do-over. It doesn't go against your account, so to speak. It doesn't go against your score. You just take another shot. I remember playing at Champions Golf Course in Houston where Jackie Burke was the longtime pro there. And Jackie Burke, the great golfer from yesteryear, just died inside of a year ago at the age of 100. I think he was 100 years old. But on hole number one at Champions, very prestigious course, hole number one says no mulligans. You know, you want a mulligan, you want to hit balls, go to the driving range. This is the course. This is what counts. But hey, when you are looking at a new year, it's really an opportunity for new things, new and fresh things. It's an opportunity to start over and with the Lord, and it's a great time to reflect on what has happened in 2024 and what you want to happen in 2025. Psalm 90 verse 12 keeps coming to my mind as I prepared for the program today. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days. It's good to say, okay, how old am I? And, you know, what is the normal span of life? You know, it says in Psalm 90, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. So if you're looking somewhere between 70 and 80 years, and some of you are living on the excess, you're 80 plus. My mom just turned 96 in October. We had a big time getting together with my mom and being with her and being together as a family on Friday night. So she's way past the 80-year mark, and so that's you're living in the overtime period, and God has been gracious to give you that time. But it's good to number your days to see how much time do I have left, because I want my life to count. As the old little couplet says, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I remember hearing a sermon by Chuck Swindoll years ago. He said, life is like a coin. You can spend it however you want, but you can only spend it once. And so we need to be careful how we're spending our time. Adrian Rogers did a sermon that I heard when I was in college about time. And he said, your life is made up of time. And he said, wasting time is committing suicide by degrees, because you only have so much time. And so we don't want to waste the time. We want to, as Ephesians 5 tells us, redeem the time, because the days are evil. So I just want to encourage you, as you look back on 2024, what was good, what was challenging, what was difficult. And in 2025, what does this year hold? You know, 2025 could be the year that the Lord comes back. And so we look forward to that. Jesus said, you know, when you see all these things take place, all these signs that he talked about of the end times, look up and be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. And so we look up and we say, Lord, this could be the year you come. As I still remember that little lapel pin, my father-in-law gave me a trumpet with these words, perhaps today. Perhaps today the Lord will come back. Perhaps today we'll hear the last trumpet for the church, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We don't live in defeat. We don't live in misery and depression as believers. We live encouraged, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We know that God has a purpose for our lives, and when our race is over, then he will take us home. So that leads me into some of the news items that have taken place. I was looking yesterday at all the different things in the news, and as I've told you before, I like to go on X and see what's trending in the news and what's trending among the billion subscribers to X, and so certain things are there. You know, bird flu. Lena Nguyen, who is a public health communicator, she was the head of Planned Parenthood for 8 months a few years ago, and forced to resign. They didn't really give a reason why, just that their philosophies didn't line up. She, in my opinion, is awful. She said things about COVID that just weren't true, and you know, telling us you know, how we needed to get vaccinated, and if you don't get vaccinated, you know, you're awful. This was a quote from her when she was on CNN's program with Chris Cuomo during the when COVID was such a big deal. We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated. You have the option to not get vaccinated if you want, but then you can't go out in public. You know, she was really banging the drum for getting vaccinated. And, you know, now I don't know very many people who say, boy, that was a great decision for me to get vaccinated, as more and more of the information comes out that says, hey, you've put yourself at great risk by getting vaccinated. And so I'm so glad that I didn't, and Debbie and I didn't. But she's in the news for talking about bird flu. And she wants the Biden administration to make rapid tests and to ask the FDA to authorize the bird flu vaccine. And so another thing that's trending in response to this is do not comply. Those words, do not comply, trending on X, that we're not going to do this again. We're not going to buy all your hysteria about this disease that's coming and we need to shut down the economy and we all need to stay home and we need to wear masks and we need to stay 6 feet away from everybody and we need to get vaccinated. Forget it. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, that's in the news, and Lena Wen is the one that's banging that drum. Also in the news, Costco is urging shareholders to vote against a proposal that would eliminate their diversity, equity, and inclusion program. They believe their DEI efforts, quote, enhance our capacity to attract and retain employees who will help our business succeed. They have 300,000 employees worldwide. And, you know, other major corporations are pumping the brakes on DEI because they're seeing this is not good. And President Trump has basically said we need to shut down all this woke stuff. You know, critics of DEI said this, DEI is the redistribution of opportunity for employers, potential employers and suppliers on the basis of race and sex. That's immoral and illegal and sacrifices merit and excellence on the altar of diversity and political correctness. That's exactly what it is. You hire people based on the fact that they can do the job. It doesn't matter what color they are. You know, professional sports sure doesn't buy into DEI. They're going to play. They're going to draft the players they think can help them. They don't care what color they are. And, you know, if you're good at, you know, at football and you can play the position, and you can play it better than anybody else that we can find, we're gonna hire you. And we're going to put people on the field or on the court that are the best. And whether they're black, white, red, brown, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's the way things need to be. That was the dream of Martin Luther King Jr., that my four little children will be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. That's how we need to judge people. On the content of their character. Some say, well, judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. You know, in that same passage, Matthew 7, where he says, do not judge, lest you be judged, that's taken so out of context. Because in the same passage, he said, you will know them by their works. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. Every good tree produces good fruit. Every bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. Watch out for the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have to be able to judge. You have to be able to be critical about people, and critical in a way of looking to see, okay, let me check out your works and see if your works match up with what you're saying. Because when it comes to people, you know, what they say is one thing. You look to see what they do. I'm reminded of my friend Rick Scarborough, who's been on this program many times. Rick Scarborough talked about President Trump. This was when he ran for president in re-election in 2020. He said, I basically said to him he wanted to come to the church and talk to some of the pastors. And I said, Rick, here's the problem. Yeah, I have trouble with what Trump says. And he said, well, so do I. He said, we don't like what Trump says, but we like what Trump does. And so Trump can say some things that are just, it's like, why did you say that? But what he does is pretty good. And he seems to have a basic sense of right and wrong, and he is against all the DEI stuff. He's against all the woke agenda stuff. He's against all the you know, globalist agenda things. And so we say, yeah, you know, we said between those two candidates, the choice was very, very clear. Between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, the choice was clear. And by God's grace, America, I believe, you might disagree with me, but America got a reprieve. You know, we didn't get the Apostle Paul in the office. The Apostle Paul wasn't on the agenda. He wasn't on the ballot. But we got a guy that is going to fight for basic right and wrong and hopefully restore America to a place of opportunity, in a place of law and order. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're looking at some of the things in the news. And one of the things I want to talk about when we come back is we're going to talk about climate change, because we have the climate change hucksters out there in full force. And then we want to talk about the passing of Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States. He was married for 77 years. He died yesterday at the age of 100. And, you know, everybody dies eventually. And then what? We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I wanted to read to you from John chapter 7. The Lord says this: do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, we talked about that as we ended the first segment, how we need to be discerning. And that is something that is sorely lacking among Christians today, to have discernment. The naive, Proverbs says, the naive believes everything. You don't need to believe everything. I've told you before, just a major life hack is to know that if big government is pushing it, if big pharma is pushing it, if big media is pushing it, it's 99.9% chance a lie. Because that's all being controlled by the evil one. The whole world, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we just see today, as movements go in our world, how the devil is at work. And he's at work to create a one world government. He's at work to gain control, to gain access for his Antichrist, who is going to be Satan in the flesh, to take control one day. Now, God is over all of this. God is going to allow this to happen at the right time. We believe that the Lord is going to rapture his church out before this takes place. We won't know who the Antichrist is. If you figure out who the Antichrist is, as my friend Ed Heinsohn used to say, guess what? You've missed the rapture, because he is not going to be revealed until after the Lord removes his church. But one of the big things that we see in our world today, and see, it was trending on X just this weekend, was the issue of climate change, the climate change hysteria. You know, we've been told that the earth is, you know, the polar caps are melting, and as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, you know, the world is going to end in 12 years. She said that a few years ago. So we're coming up on the halfway point of that and just have a few years left. I read a statistic, some survey that was done. It says young people are they're so worried about climate change. And climate change is a joke. It's a sick joke. And I like what I heard this man say about it regarding CO2 emissions.
A lot of this environmental question depends on, I think, a very flawed fundamental presupposition. It depends on the idea that carbon dioxide is pollution. And I would argue, after interviewing hundreds of scientists, including many who've worked for the UN IPCC, many of the leading scientists in the world, that the notion that CO2 is pollution is absolutely preposterous. We exhale about 2 pounds of it every single day. The proportion of greenhouse gases made up of human CO2 emissions is a fraction of a fraction of 1%. The idea that that is going to destroy the planet or change the temperature of the earth is, frankly, in my opinion, totally ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, if you can convince people that CO2 is pollution, there's no human activity that doesn't result in CO2 emissions, including living, including dying, turning on a light switch. Every single aspect of your life, then, if we submit to the idea that CO2 is pollution, then comes under the regulatory control of the people who claim to be saving us from pollution. So when they do these environmental studies and they say, well, your CO2 footprint will be smaller if you eat bugs or you do this, that, or the other, you drive an electric car, that doesn't show anything about whether that's going to benefit the environment or not. In fact, CO2 has actually been very beneficial for the environment. In interviewing Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, a physics professor at Princeton University, he said the Earth is starving for more CO2. And since we've had a little bit of an increase in atmospheric CO2 over the last 100 years or so, plants have gotten much greener, agricultural yields have improved. So I think we need to also talk about the fundamental presupposition here. Is CO2 really pollution? If it's not, then all these alleged environmental benefits are completely fictional.
That was Alex Newman, award-winning journalist, exposing the scam that is the climate change hysteria. I also came across this quote from Australian Senator Malcolm Roberts. He said this: the UK has just concluded a trial of a personal carbon dioxide allowance in order to meet net zero goals. Your daily carbon dioxide allowance would be enough to buy 26 grams of red meat, which is equivalent to one mouthful. Your daily allowance will cover two plant-based meals a day because predatory billionaires like BlackRock and Bill Gates are buying up farmland to grow the cereals and soy needed for plant-based meals. The whole thing is rigged toward the products they can exploit for their own financial gain, including plant-based fake meat. The World Economic Forum has hosted speakers calling for this system to include carbon dioxide credit trading so rich people can live their lives exactly as they do right now and poor people can skimp on food, clothing, travel, electricity, and entertainment and sell their excess credits to rich people. The rules never apply to the people that make them. Well, that is so true. Well, that was Australian Senator Malcolm Roberts. Well, all this goes to the issue of control. We want to control you. Now, Margaret Thatcher, she spoke to this in her lifetime some years ago, and she was talking about the evils of socialism and what is the goal of socialism.
You want to keep more of the money you earn. I'm afraid that's very selfish. We shall want to tax that away. You want to own shares in your firm. We can't have that. The state has to own your firm. You want to choose where to send your children to school. That's very divisive. You'll send your child where we tell you. Mr. President, the trouble with Labour is that they're just not at home with freedom. Socialists don't like ordinary people choosing, or they might not choose socialism.
That was Margaret Thatcher from some years ago. You know, she and Ronald Reagan were big buddies, and Ronald Reagan understood that communism, socialism was a great evil that must be defeated. Well, as I said, so those are that I found in the news. And the other thing that people are talking about is the passing of Jimmy Carter, who died yesterday at the age of 100. I was thinking about the scripture from the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts as he gave his testimony before Felix at Caesarea Philippi. I've been at that area where that amphitheater where he was and gave his testimony. And he was permitted to speak. And he said, I admit to you that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. You know, one of the things about death that death does is it sobers us all to the fact that everybody dies. And, you know, you can be a famous person, as Jimmy Carter was a famous person. You can rise to the heights of the office of the president, and you can do a lot of good things. Jimmy Carter did a lot of good things in his life, seemed to be a very upstanding, moral man with compassion. And, you know, he made no bones about the fact that he was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But everybody dies. And you live to be 100. And if you saw that picture of Jimmy Carter that somebody posted on social media that said that he was so excited about being able to vote for Kamala Harris, good night. He looked terrible. He looked like he'd been dead for several years. I mean, he just looked like a cadaver in that picture. I don't know why anyone would post that. But Jimmy Carter has died, and as Paul said, everybody's going to die, and there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Now, the resurrection of the righteous is a resurrection of joy. The resurrection for the wicked is a resurrection of horror. The execution of justice, Proverbs tells us, is joy to the righteous, but it is terror to the workers of iniquity. And those people who reject God, they do not want to meet God in the resurrection because they know in their hearts the Lord has placed, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, he's placed eternity in our hearts. And so we know, even though many men try and kick their conscience to death, we know there is a God, and we know one day we're going to have to do business with him. I heard a joke that somebody told in a sermon about a man who was an atheist, and he was teaching his children that there is no God, and God doesn't exist, and the Bible's not true, and blah, 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 all that stuff. And his little boy said at the dinner table one night, he said, "Daddy, do you think God knows that we don't believe in him?" You know, it's just innate within a child to believe in God because the Lord has given us a conscience, that rudimentary system of knowing between good and evil, knowing right and wrong in just a very basic way. We know, we come into this world knowing that there must be a God. You know, I mean, to think that God doesn't exist is so ludicrous. Creation tells us, and that's what Romans 1 says. I mean, the fact of God's existence is so obvious. It says that which is known about God, Romans 1:19, is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Evident within them is conscience, evident to them is creation. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. No excuse. You're not going to give an excuse to God at the judgment and say, "Well, Lord, I didn't have enough information to know that you existed." Yeah, you do. Just walk outside. Look at the grass. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. Look at the birds. Look at everything that God has made. Everything that has that is created has a creator. We know that. You see a watch. And you don't believe for one skinny minute that the watch just came into being by itself. If there's a creation, there had to be a creator. And that's the argument Paul makes in Romans chapter 1. Well, there's surely going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. And the righteous have a resurrection, as I said, of joy and a resurrection of victory. And as Paul finishes his great chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said that there's coming a day when the perishable, our humanity, will put on imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The grave is not going to hold us for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, because Jesus took the sting out of death for us. He died in our place, and we put our faith and trust in him, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And so we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. But for those who are wicked, and we're all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But the wicked and the righteous, that's another way of saying the saved and the unsaved. Because all of us are wicked, but we put our faith in Jesus that made us righteous. And so the resurrection of the wicked is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It's the great white throne judgment. It's a judgment of horror. It's a judgment where Jesus sits on the throne. You remember Jesus said, the Father judges no man, John chapter 5, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And men, women, boys, and girls who rejected Christ or neglected Christ, ignored him, just said, "Oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah, whatever." But they didn't bow their knee. They didn't bow their life. The Doobie Brothers song from when I was growing up, "Jesus is just all right with me." Well, that's not going to cut it. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What did the wise men do when they found the Christ in the house? They fell down and worshiped him, and they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, expensive gifts, because he's worthy, worthy, worthy. And in Revelation chapter 20, you have the resurrection of the wicked. And it's a resurrection of horror. And what do they face? They face the second death. That's what the lake of fire is called, the second death. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And so we don't want that for anybody as believers. And that's why we pray for people to come to their senses and for God to open the eyes of the blind. Because, you know, any person that you meet, you don't want that for them. You know, if you've ever faced a serious surgery or some kind of injury that you had, and you went through all the pain of the surgery and of the recovery, you know, you've heard that statement, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. Well, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what kind of physical pain, emotional pain you've gone through, it pales in comparison to the pain people will feel being separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. We don't want that for anybody. We don't want that for our worst enemy. We want people to come to know Christ. Now, something that blows you away when you think about the grace of God, you think about people like the thief on the cross who had nothing to offer the king. You don't, I don't, we don't. He didn't have anything to offer Jesus. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And Jesus said to that guy, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, do I believe in deathbed conversions? Yes. But as Johnny Hunt said one time, they're very rare. There's only one in the Bible, and that's the thief on the cross. Hey, you have an opportunity now to get right with God. Don't think that right before the end, you can sin it all up, and then right at the end, when you're on your deathbed, you can pray to receive Christ. It probably won't happen. They're very rare. Typically, a man dies the way he lived. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we've been talking about a host of subjects. We're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have something that has been on your heart that you want to talk about, I'd love to talk with you. So we will be taking calls as soon as our three-minute break is over. So call in now, and let's talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve, I'll look forward to talking to you. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we've been talking about a host of things today, things in the news. We've been talking about bird flu, and people are banging that drum. Lena Wynn is banging that drum that we need to get vaccinated and get everybody all up in arms. and we need all the stuff that she says. We talked about Costco and DEI. We talked about the climate change hysteria. That's one of my hot buttons. Listen, God controls the climate. And all this stuff that you hear from these so-called experts, God controls the climate. We don't need to, obviously, we don't just purposely pollute the environment. That's ridiculous. But God controls the climate. We don't need to be concerned about these things. And the end of the world is God's situation, not ours. We don't control that. He does. And we talked about Jimmy Carter, and we talked about the issue of death, because death awaits all of us, and so we need to be ready. And the only way you can be ready to die is to make sure your life is rooted in Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord, your Savior, your Master. You're living for Him. And then death is just a wonderful it's a wonderful step into eternity with Jesus. And it's not something we need to fear, because we know that that he takes us, he's with us all the way to glory. The Lord says in His word, I use this a lot with people that are going through difficulties, Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, and He has promised He'll never leave us and never forsake us. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Gary on the line from Virginia. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Gary, are you there? All right, we seem to be having a little problem with Gary. Let's try Rose from Mississippi. Rose, are you there? Okay. Well, Richard, do we have a problem with the call screening? Okay. Well, we might have a little bit of an issue there, but we're going to fix that. And, I was thinking as we've gotten together with family, many of us over the holidays, they can be the hardest to witness to, because family knows us very, very well. And family can see a huge change in us. And so that's where your Christianity can really make a difference. But you have to shine more, share less. I've found with family is more effective. So you don't cram things down people's throat. But, you know, when we think about our family, when we have family members who are lost, we need to be burdened. Ask God, Lord, burden my heart for my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my cousin, whoever it might be, my nephew, my niece, whoever it might be that is not a believer, that God would open their eyes to the truth. Because if he doesn't, and if their hearts remain so hard, they're going to face an eternity without Jesus. And there's no hope. You know, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, it should break our hearts. It needs to break our hearts. We need to be living in the light of His return and thinking to ourselves every time we meet somebody, does this person know Jesus? How can I make a difference in their lives so that they can know Jesus? And when we are living that way, then we become the witnesses He wants us to be. So do we have Richard, do we have the call screening working now? Okay, we have Gary on the line from Virginia. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pastor Jeff.
Yes, sir.
My question is, my aunt that lives in North Carolina, their pastor left, and they cannot fill the slot. They've called the Baptist Association, and they just don't have the preachers. What's going on with that? A lot of people not going to school to be a pastor now.
Good question, Gary. I don't know. I know that some seminaries are down. You know, distance learning has really taken over, which is not the same. My friend Paige Patterson, who was president of Southeastern Seminary when I was there, and was president of Southwestern Seminary, He did not like distance learning. And he said, that's not good in theological training because that doesn't cause you to get out of the boat, so to speak. You know, when you have to leave your job, the Lord calls you. This is what Debbie and I did. I got called in the ministry and I had to leave my job. And we had to move to North Carolina from Houston to North Carolina. That was a major get out of the boat situation. That was a major, I'm going to have to trust God. And you see God do things. And you're on campus with the other guys that have done that. And you're at chapel. And it makes a huge difference. We're having less and less of that with distance learning. And your theological education is more than just learning about books of the Bible and learning about, you know, systematic theology and church history and those kinds of things. It's being there in the midst of all that's going on with the professors and with the students. And so, yeah, I would say we're in a tough spot, you know. And sometimes too, guys, you know, you can have some churches that have a lot of problems. And guys just say, I don't want to take that on. And, you know, churches look for pastors, but pastors look at churches too. And it's not just, it has to be a calling. God has to call you to a place. And so I would encourage them not to give up, Gary. But, you know, God does have somebody for that place. And, you know, I would just say to that church, you know, continue to pray, continue to ask God, you know, as Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers out into his harvest. But it seems like we're having, you know, churches that are, maybe they're stuck in a certain, we do things this way, and the guys say, I don't fit that. And so that can cause people to say, you know, I need to back off there. But I always looked at it as an opportunity. As a young guy, I wanted the opportunity to preach. And so wherever I could go to preach, I was ready to do it. But that's different than saying I'm going to be the pastor of the church. So I appreciate the call, Gary. Thank you. We have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I was going to say, anything that has to do with stopping birth, the climate change people are for that because they want to have less people so they can control the people. There's a really good DVD by Tom Hughes. It's called The Tower of Babel and the Babel and the Gospel of Judas. And it's basically about how these people, you know, it's kind of the same along the same lines. They want to control everything. They think they're God. They have a better way. And anyway, it's really interesting compared to the elite people that are trying to pull this one over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they don't. They are against life, as somebody pointed out, like with this bird flu vaccine. You know, it's another opportunity. You know, he's a skeptic, obviously, and he says another opportunity for the government to hit you with something that could cause you lots of problems, as the COVID vaccine has caused blood clots and heart situations and serious side effects that can end in death and has ended in death for many, many people. And yeah, I'd be very leery of any kind of shot that the government is putting their stamp on, because you're exactly right. They want to reduce the population. And God wants Christians to have kids, and he wants us to love our kids and to enlarge our tribes. So I appreciate you calling in, Lynn. God bless you. We have Joe on the line from North Carolina. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, morning there, Pastor.
Morning.
Long-time listener and periodic caller. Real quick on Jimmy Carter. A lot of people, I hope they realize that he was an advocate, a staunch advocate of replacement theology, giving Israel a back seat, of course, you know, through the church. And, you know, number two, as you brought up, the fact that he voted for Kamala Harris, now at age, let's see, he would have been 99, I guess, when he voted. Maybe losing it a little bit. But I think the fact that he's just been an advocate of Democrat policies all through the decades and what they stand for on their platform today, their godless platform, I just he's not sanctimonious as we should all think that he is. It's right. just an opinion.
Yeah. Now, so. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I think Jimmy Carter, and he was 100. He turned 100 on October 1st. I think that Jimmy Carter was in his own person. I think he conducted himself well, but his theology was not great. You know, I've tried to look and see, what did he say about Jesus? Did he believe Jesus was God incarnate? I'm assuming so. But yeah, just like the replacement theology, voting for Kamala Harris, that speaks volumes about what you believe in. You know, I think he was probably always going to go along with the Democrat Party, regardless of how crazy they got. He was just going to be a good Democrat. And, but yeah, it does make you wonder, okay, did he really have his faith and trust in Jesus, or was he like a good Mormon? You know, I have to go by what he says, and he mentioned and stood by the fact that he was a born-again believer when that wasn't very popular to say. I remember in his debate with Ronald Reagan, or in a debate with Ronald Reagan, they asked Reagan about being born again. He said, well, we never use that term in my church. I have a faith in God. But Jimmy Carter had made it clear that he was born again, which was commendable for sure. But good point. I appreciate you bringing that up, Joe. Thanks for listening. God bless you, brother. We have Rose on the line from Mississippi. Rose, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I want to, I'm very concerned about, I'm a great-grandmother, very concerned about my firstborn grandson. He's been married 2 years ago by the same minister that I'm speaking of right now, that is okaying the fact that he's not divorced, getting a divorce. He may be divorced today, but he's living with a woman who has many children, and even her own children are having children. So he's living with a woman out of wedlock, and the minister has not addressed that. That's sin.
Yeah.
I pray and I have many, many, including American Family Radio on my side, but I just don't know what to do. Am I doing all I can do is pray? And that's I know that's a plenty, but I believe God will intervene. Just give me your input on that.
Yeah, well, I would just continue to pray. You know, he probably goes to a church that is not going to look down on that or say that that's wrong. You know, just want, if he's going to a feel good church or some place that just says, you know, we don't judge anybody here, and we don't draw lines anywhere, and you know, places like that. Well, you got to call sin sin. You go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to tell you, hey, this is sickness or this is health. You can't just be all over the map. And what he's doing is wrong, and there are consequences for doing that. As the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 13, let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so you don't want to be in the crosshairs of God's judgment. So, Rose, I think you're doing what's right. You know, you don't preach at him, but you pray for him that God would open his eyes and help him to see what he's doing is wrong, and that he would want to get that right. And many of us have had that experience with a son or a daughter or grandson or granddaughter going the wrong way. And, you know, they need to know that we love them, and that's paramount, but we need to be praying that God would reach them and speak to them. If we do it, then they don't want to be around us because they feel like we're just badgering them, you know, preaching at them every time we get there in our presence. Then they're going to want to be outside of our presence. So we need to love them and pray for them. So I would encourage you with that. But I appreciate you calling in today. We have one last call. John on the line from Arkansas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, quick question. You mentioned the discernment situation, and I look at it, and you've got discernment, you've got lack of critical thinking. Some of it looks like deception, like what we read about in Revelation. And then I guess my question would be more like, do you ever feel like there's a demonic possession aspect to it? Because I look at some of the people and how angry they get and the crazy look in their eye, and it's like, what is going on? When you look at...
Yeah. Obviously, the devil is at work. He is pushing people to believe certain things. Their minds are closed to, you know, it's just like anybody that would advocate for a man to play women's sports. That's just ludicrous. That's insanity. But that is what happens, Romans 1, when God gives you over to a depraved mind. And I think we're seeing that in our world today. So I appreciate the call, John. Patsy and Karna, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in. Call in tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you and answer those questions that you have. Hey, let's go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done in your life and my life, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
The climax of the book of Exodus, the Creator God came to dwell with his people. You can't approach the holiness of God however you want. Jesus understood this when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Friends of Israel, bringing biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah. Saturdays, 2 p.m. Central on AFR.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
American Family News on the Hour. I'm Chad Groening. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson's bid keep control of the speakership may be in danger as the House Republicans withhold their support. Fox's Madeline Rivera reports from Washington.
Republican Congressman Tim Burchett